This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue confirmed that U.S. farmers will receive a third round of trade assistance this year to help producers with their 2019 losses. President Trump had hinted at additional aid during his address Sunday at the American Farm Bureau's National Convention. However, Perdue says no maybe about it. Looking ahead to 2020, the secretary does not see a similar program this year because of the Phase 1 trade agreement with China as well as other trade deals in place. Now let's grow stuff, let's produce things, and let's sell stuff, he says. He told the farmers in attendance at the Farm Bureau convention. While speaking, Perdue did acknowledge the various challenges 2019 had on U.S. agriculture, but thinks there are brighter days ahead this year. We're talking about doubling the number of ag imports to China, way more than they've ever purchased from us before, Perdue says. And those purchases are going to come throughout the whole United States ag sector. The president said farmers told him they don't want anything but a level playing field because of the trade deals he signed. Trump says farmers now have what they want, and better days are ahead. Ag Secretary Perdue also talked over the weekend about willingness to make changes to the National Ag Statistics Service methods of crop data collection. A Farm Journal article says during 2019 and its many challenges, many farmers were openly questioning the crop projections that were coming from NAS throughout the year. Perdue admits that he has some concerns about their crop reports and the survey methods NAS uses. In fact, it was kind of a paranoia in light of all the prevented planting and other kinds of things that were falling on us, he recalled. We got a little conspiratorial, too, thinking NAS was also out to get us. He thinks the NAS numbers that took the market by surprise last June might have been more correct than the market ultimately was in its reaction. However, that doesn't mean Perdue thinks the methodology for estimating crop size couldn't be improved. We're going to get better, Perdue says. If you've got an idea about how we can better use electronics or maybe an app for better surveys, we'd love to hear about it. We're open to the kind of ideas of using modern technology to get you the best data that you can use to make plans for your farm. In other ag news here on your Wednesday, certainly, certainty has been the chief desire of our nation's ag sector after recent trade disruptions with major markets. Now with the new agreements in place with these trading partners, plus continuing diversification of export markets, it appears U.S. farmers and ranchers could see an increased level of certainty this year and beyond. Rod Bain looks at the potential of ag trade certainty going forward in this edition of Agriculture USA.
Like the catchphrase of a famous professional wrestler, sports entertainer, whatever title you bestow this icon.
The only thing that's for sure is nothing's for sure.
Some may have felt that way with the ups and downs connected to ag trade disruptions and potential new trade deals over the last 2 years. So when it came to new trade agreements being established with major ag markets like Japan, China, Mexico, and Canada, several in the ag sector noted their common theme and desire involved
certainty,
certainty,
certainty.
Normalizing trade relationships is so important.
And not just normalization, but improvements from previous trade agreements as well. Provisions within the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement provide examples of potential improvements, such as elimination of a Canadian milk class that hampered U.S. export and price potential in that market and abroad, advancements regarding sanitary and phytosanitary trade barriers. And as the chief ag negotiator for the U.S. Trade Representative's Office, Greg Dowd, points out,
the discussion about standards for biotechnology and consultations about new types of biotechnology like gene editing.
Now that U.S. and Mexico's legislative bodies have ratified USMCA, enactment of the deal awaits expected approval in late winter by Canada's parliament. In effect, since the start of 2020, the first phase of a U.S.-Japanese trade agreement. That deal means over 90% of our nation's food and ag imports to Japan are now duty-free or have preferential tariff access. Among the beneficiaries is the U.S. red meat industry, which also received increased tariff rate quotas for the Japanese marketplace. As Marty Smith of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association explains regarding his industry,
we're going to see a significant increase in both demand and what has been being spent on tariff that consumer is now going to be able to spend on more beef.
A significant increase in ag exports is expected into China as well after the two nations recently signed the first phase of a new trade agreement.
Chinese businesses will purchase $40 billion of agricultural products from the United States annually. If the demand is strong, the companies may buy more.
Chinese Vice Premier Liu Ha via interpreter on the projected export value numbers. Yet even before the agreement became official, there were indications of increased Chinese purchase of U.S. commodities. USDA World Agricultural Outlook Board Acting Chair Mark Jekinowski notes this example from January's World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates.
China has been importing a lot of soybeans recently despite the tariffs, so our export forecasts are based in part on soybean export pace to date, which includes a lot of soybeans that have gone to China recently.
These trade agreements between the U.S. and these four major export markets, depending on the deal, are implemented and in effect or will be implemented in the coming months, adding a layer of certainty market-wise for American agriculture. Yet with the trade disruptions of the last 2 years, our nation's farm and food sectors are also continuing their efforts to diversify markets globally and in turn expand trade certainty. In addition to private and public-private efforts by commodity and trade organizations, the Agriculture Department, through its Foreign Agricultural Service, in partnership with these groups, continue developing new and expanding existing markets. Agricultural trade missions and the market access and foreign market development programs are among the tools available to diversify and create certainty in trade. Joe Sheely of the U.S. Meat Export Federation says years, decades of such efforts proved significant when access to other markets were greatly reduced.
Sometimes we would get the question, the vast majority of our exports really go to about five or six markets. Why don't we just focus our efforts there? And I think now people see why we've developed our markets like, say, Colombia and Australia for pork and Panama for pork and beef. And now we're moving more product into Africa. I think that goes to show that it's never too early to start investing in those markets.
This has been Agriculture USA. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Moving on into other national ag news here on your Wednesday, the number of licensed dairy farms in Minnesota continues to drop at a steady pace. New data from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture says 315 dairy farms left the business between January of 2019 and New Year's Day of 2020. That's the second year in a row the state has lost more than 300 dairies. Further back, on January 1st, 2017, Minnesota had 3,258 licensed dairy farms. As of January 1st of this year, that number is down to 2,448. That's a three-year total of 810 dairy operations that are out of business. Margaret Hart, Communications Director for the MDA, says the number of farms going out of business over the last 5 years has been higher than normal, due in large part to a drop in prices. It's worth mentioning that at least some of those businesses have ceased their operations temporarily, which is to be referred as dried off. For example, 47 dairies that stopped operation between December 1st last year and December and January 1st of this year are dried off. That means they intend to resume milking within 60 days. Moving on now to State of Illinois Ag News. Coming up in just over 2 weeks is the annual Midwest Truck and Trailer Show, held again this year at the Civic Center in Peoria. To explain the dates and the festivities this year, we'll join Don Schaefer of the Midwest Truckers Association.
Thursday, February 6th, we start off. We do some sessions those days, mostly educational on Thursday. The truck show kicks off at 9 o'clock on Friday morning, February 7th, and it goes till 5 o'clock on Friday. On Saturday, truck show kicks off at 9 o'clock, February 8th, and it goes till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The good thing about it this year it's a week later, thus it's not on Super Bowl weekend. So come to Peoria the following week, and you can enjoy the truck show. And it is a great time. It's free admission to the truck show. If you want to participate in the sessions, there is a registration fee for the convention itself, but that includes all your meals, that includes hospitality, a whole slew of stuff, and it's well worth it. If you want more information, you can check our website, www.midwesttruckshow.com. All the registration forms are on there. All the agenda items are there. Housing information, everything you need to make a weekend of it in Peoria. If you don't want to go for the whole time, you can go for one day. You can go to sessions for one day if you want, depending on what your schedule's like. You know, we get 6,000 people that come through there over the 2 days of the truck show.
Again, that was Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President with the Midwest Truckers Association. And the dates for the Midwest Truck and Trailer Show are Thursday through Saturday, February 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Peoria Civic Center. For more info on this year's show, you can visit their website, MidwestTruckShow.com. Moving on now into ag weather, are there any significant snow events expected in February across the state? DTN Chief Agriculture Meteorologist Bryce Anderson sizes up those chances.
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic that February is going to be a month that doesn't, like I say, suddenly turn around and give us a real snowy trend. February is looking quite variable from north to south across the Midwest, with much of Illinois wanting to present a normal to above normal temperature trend. Now, as far as the precipitation goes during the month of February, the pattern is starting to show a little bit more of a below normal track for the Midwest, and this, of course, would be quite a bit different than a year ago. During the month of March, more variable, near normal, and then that same pattern continues going into April. So I think that we have to balance what the dynamics are at the moment with what the trend has been over the last several years. This is where the real concern is in the forecast community, and it's that way in my shop. It's that way at NOAA, the Climate Prediction Center as well, because the last several years, as we all know and are still dealing with, have been very wet. We have had a definite wetter trend, and that goes back for a number of years now during the spring season. So it's that trend that has a lot of folks on edge, possibly overriding what the dynamic indications are in the forecast as we think about the rest of this winter and then on into spring.
Anderson is expecting the final stretch of January to end with moderate temperatures. Moving on quickly now to the Ag Community Bulletin Board, one thing to tell you about. The Macoupin County Soil and Water Conservation District will be holding the Macoupin Creek Watershed Meeting at the Carlinville Elks Lodge next Wednesday evening from 6 until 8. RSVP, however, is due by this Friday, the 24th, and you can do so by calling the Macoupin County Soil and Water Conservation District's office at 854-2626 extension 3. Again, that's 854-2626 extension 3. And that'll wrap it up for this Wednesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have anything for us ag-related, that can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Wednesday morning, January 22nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.